Good evening.
My
name is Jim, and I'm blessed to have the opportunity to share God's word with all of you tonight. I'll open up with a question. Have you ever been angry? Angry about the behavior of others, your circumstances, or your expectations not being met? Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that we only hear from you tonight. We pray that you soften our hearts and to hear and yield to your word, Father God. And we pray that you just remove any distractions that we have and you just take them away from us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open up your Bibles to Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. While you're getting there, I'm going to just talk about some background. So the prophet Jonah was a prophet of the 10 northern tribes of Israel. Jonah came from Gath-Hepher, which is 2.5 miles northeast of Nazareth. Jonah, his name, means dove. Jonah was a Galilean. He was a prophet during the reign of Jeroboam II, around 793 to 753 BC. Jonah was the only Old Testament prophet called to minister to a foreign nation. Nineveh was a large Gentile city in the capital of Assyria. Nineveh was located along the Tigris River and is approximately 500 miles northeast of Israel. Nineveh was founded by Nimrod, great grandson of Noah, and was known for his idolatry and cruelty and was an enemy of Israel and Judah. So I'm going to give you a brief recap of chapters 1 through 3. So in chapter 1, God calls Jonah to minister to the Ninevites. So Jonah disobeys God and he flees on a ship to Tarshish in the opposite direction of where God sends him. So the Lord sends a storm and the mariners on the ship cry out to God because their ship is going to be sunk because of this, because he is running away from God. Jonah is asleep in the bottom of the ship, so they don't know this. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So at that point, they realized that Jonah was the reason why. So they got him up, and Jonah came out, and he said, "I'm a Hebrew. I believe in God." And he said that, "I'm the reason why." He said, "I believe in the God who created the seas and the dry land." He said, "I'm the reason why your boat's going to sink." So he told them the only way to save themselves is to throw him in the ocean. They tried to save Jonah. The mariners tried to save Jonah, so what they did is started trying to paddle toward shore, but God made the storm even greater. So the mariners realized that they had to put Jonah into the water. So the mariners, having mercy on Jonah, cried out to God and said, please don't have this guy's blood on our hands. So they finally relented and threw Jonah into the water. So the mariners, as a result, and they threw Jonah in the water. As soon as they threw Jonah into the water calms. So as a result of this, the mariners, they believed God. And they offered sacrifices and vows to God. And at the end of that chapter, Jonah gets swallowed by a great fish. So in chapter 2, Jonah prays. Jonah's in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. He prays to God and recognizes that God has spared him. Jonah repents and vows to do God's will. Jonah declares that he will say that salvation comes from the Lord. God commands the large fish to vomit Jonah out onto dry land. So in chapter 3, God calls Jonah again. Jonah obeys this time and goes to Nineveh and declares, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. The king responded and he called for a fast of no water and no food for the animals and the people. He also called for the animals and the people to be covered in sackcloth. Jonah repents and vows to do God's will. Jonah declares he will... All the people and the animals covered in sackcloth. Then let everyone call urgently on God and repent. God may relent and show compassion. So the people of Nineveh repent. So we'll pick it up from verse 1 through 3 in chapter 4 of Jonah. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord? That when I was still at home, that is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live." So if we go to verse 1, to Jonah it seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Anger is caused by a perception that you were wronged, that something's not right. Usually it makes us think about ourselves rather than God. It centers around us when we get angry. Many things cause anger. Traffic, people talking about politics, and people talking about sports, long lines at the gas station, long lines at a grocery store or Costco, and inconsiderate people. So there's no shortage of anger today in this world, and there's also no shortage of "it's all about me." So we'll pick it up at verse 2 with Jonah's prayer. So Jonah, his name means dove, and in the dictionary, word dove is, the definition of dove is one who takes an attitude intended to gain goodwill or favor and advocates negotiations and compromise, reduced hostility. Thank you, Anthony. So Jonah admits to God that he tried to thwart God's will. He claimed that he tried to forestall the fleeing, which is, and the word forestall means to delay, hinder, or prevent. So Jonah was really just trying to stop God's will from being done because he was afraid that the Ninevites were going to be saved. So Jonah admits that he demonstrates that his anger for the people of Nineveh is actually his attitude towards the Ninevites, that hated them so much that he was willing to disobey God just because of his anger. So he says, "I knew." Despite Jonah knowing God, he had no way of knowing the outcome. He said, "I knew that you were going to do this." But he really didn't, because he didn't know if the people from Nineveh were going to repent or not. So he was claiming something that he really didn't know. He's not all-knowing, omniscient like God is. So we need to remove barriers that keep us from ministering to others. And that's anger, hatred, cultural differences, differing beliefs, etc. Jonah knew God was gracious, undeserved favor, and compassionate, which means sympathetic for our condition, slow to anger and abounding in love. God's unconditional love for all his creation. Aren't you glad that we serve a gracious and compassionate God? Despite being spared by God himself, Jonah was angry that God did not destroy Nineveh. Jonah saved the pagan mariners, resulting in the pagan mariners wanting to save him. Jonah's anger was misplaced. Praises of God's qualities opposite of those that he extends to others. No mercy, quick to anger, and disobedience almost killed the pagan mariners and Nineveh. Jonah was jealous that God would extend his grace to the Gentiles. In verse 3, we see, Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. So Jonah would rather die than to accept God's will of saving the Ninevites. Jonah put his will above God's will. In contrast, Jesus in Matthew 26:39, where he's in Gethsemane. My Father, if it possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Verse 4, but the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Now, I'll just give you a brief story about anger that happened to me last year. I was at home. It had snowed. It was a snowstorm, and I was out front shoveling. So my wife and I live in a city where there's narrow streets, narrow sidewalks, and very limited parking. So I'm out front, and the car that's parked in front of my house, I usually shovel out their door, so at least when they come out to clean their car off, they can get in and start their car. So I had just finished cleaning up the snow, and these two girls come over to dig out the car in front of my house. And the one girl I could see right off the bat was angry. She was very angry, and she was not happy that she had to shovel snow. And her friend just sat there and watched her while she shoveled snow. So while I was watching her, she started to throw snow onto my sidewalk. And I was standing right there. And I was like, excuse me, are you really going to throw snow on my sidewalk? And she just started calling me stupid and saying, where do you expect me to throw the snow? And I'm like, anywhere else? So what had happened is she started throwing the snow on my sidewalk, and I threw the snow back. She threw the snow on my sidewalk. I threw it back. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I caught her girlfriend. And I know God's had that girl there because it was getting hostile. And I looked over, and I just saw that girl standing there silently watching both of us. And I was convicted. So what ended up happening is the girl threw the snow. I picked up the snow. I walked up the street, put it in between two other cars. The girl threw the snow. I picked up the snow. And we just continued that until she was done and I was done. So we'll get back to the text. So in chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease the discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. So we could see in verse 5 that Jonah had gone out and he built himself a little shelter and he was angry and he went off and he just sat viewing the city as if he was expecting God to destroy the city, which is just crazy because that's why he was angry, because he knew God wasn't going to destroy the city. Yet he was seething with anger and went over and just said, let me build a shed. And he just built himself a little shelter and watched and observed. So I don't know what he was waiting for, but he was expecting something else to happen. So Jonah's anger led him to being delusional at that point. It's like, did he really expect God to destroy Nineveh? So he made himself comfortable and just sat there and waited. It's like, can you picture this guy? He's just angry and just sitting there waiting. What's going on? So then we'll read, then God comforted Jonah with a plant and to give him shade from the sun. God loves us unconditionally. He provided him a plant, even though he was being out of control. God provided him with a plant to just comfort him. Despite Jonah's anger, God had compassion for him. Jonah was happy with the plant that God provided. You know, pick it up from verse 7. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered when the sun rose. God speaks to his creation. Even God speaks to his creation. God is in control. Amen. So we'll read verses 8 through 9. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." So God provided this scorching wind. God takes Jonah's shelter away at this point with this hot wind. So now Jonah has no shelter, and sun's blazing on Jonah's head, and he becomes faint. Now, I go out to Arizona all the time for my job, so I'm out in the desert a lot, and sometimes we have to go walking around out there after we shoot stuff and find the impacts. So I'm out there with some people, and we're out in the Arizona desert in July and August, and it could be 120 degrees, and we're walking around and just the heat, and it's so hot and it's dry. And you know me, I sweat a lot. And out there, I'm cool because my sweat is evaporating as fast as I sweat. So I actually feel cool. That's how hot it is. But it still, even with that happening, I'm not that cool because the sun is so hot. So we actually find like ironwood trees to hide under for a time just to get a rest before we continue walking around. So it's just nice. So I just wanted to share that. So Jonah again asks God to take his life. Jonah would rather die than accept God's will. God questions Jonah's anger. Is it right for you to be angry at the plant? God is omniscient, all-knowing. He knows our hearts, even though we're not honest with ourselves. Because Jonah never said he was mad about the plant being taken away, but God knew exactly where he was angry because the plant was gone. So Jonah then states, it's right for him to be angry about the plant. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. And the point here is we need to trust God in all circumstances. Like, we shouldn't be taking things into our own hands. So let's read verses 10 through 11. But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, although you have not tended it nor made it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hands from their left, and so many animals?" So here God reveals Jonah's twisted idea about the concern over the plant over the people of Nineveh. He's more interested in the safety of this plant than he is about people. God states that Nineveh has 120,000 people that don't know their right hand from the left, which is referring to children. So you know that there's in excess of 500,000 people there that God's concerned about, and that's what he's thinking about. God is concerned about all his creation: people, plants, animals, stars, everything. In Exodus 33:19, this is where Moses asked to see God's glory. The Lord says, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God is sovereign. Amen. So to recap, God used Jonah, a reluctant servant, to bring salvation to the people of Nineveh. Jonah's anger accomplished nothing. In the end, God's will was done. And his anger also only brought misery upon himself and other people, the mariners and potentially all the other people that were involved in this. In the end, God's will was accomplished. We serve a gracious and loving God who cares for us despite our weaknesses. Just got one more thing to share here. So before we close, I want to share what God revealed to me this week about the shoveling snow story that I told earlier with the girl. He showed me that because of my anger, I missed out on a blessing that day. I pretty much shoveled the girl's car out for her. However, she shoveled it, and then I shoveled it. So we both ended up shoveling the same snow because we were both angry at each other. I could have blessed that girl, shoveled out her car, and we both would have been blessed. But because of my anger, I missed out on that opportunity to minister to this very angry girl who just ended up making me angry because I let her. And all in all, the very next morning I woke up and a lot of the snow was already gone. So this whole thing happened for no reason, because the snow was gone. She didn't even need to shovel. She could have just driven out the next day because you didn't need to shovel. So just want to bring that out. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us the book of Jonah and just revealing our hearts towards you and towards others. We pray that you soften our hearts and give us the desire to minister to others. To your people, we pray that we just can minister to those in this broken and lost world, Father God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.